This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalms 74 through 77. Arise, O God! God will judge with equity. Who can stand before you? In the day of my trouble, and I will remember. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But to thee there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for your sake, for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, restored Mary Magdalene to health and called her to be the first witness of his resurrection. Heal us from all our infirmities, and call us to know you in the power of your Son's unending life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Chapter 13. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text this morning is the gospel reading just read. It's possible always to have kind of your own favorite saint. And mine actually is Saint Mary Magdalene for a lot of reasons. You know, we live in a history of this world that just goes from creation to its end, and somewhere we are in that continuum. But the center of history is a day called Easter. And at the center of Easter is Jesus Christ. But revolving around that center is Saint Mary Magdalene. What do we really know about this woman? Well, her name appears 12 times in the Gospels, more than most of the disciples. She was probably least well-to-do because we know that she helped support Jesus and his disciples. We know that she was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. We know that she was one from whom demons had been cast out. Now, Jesus had warned his disciples, all of us, that we would have evil spoken against us. But you know, when that happens, it's not really against you. It's because you're identified with Jesus Christ. And that's what angers this world and Satan himself. We know at the time of the early church, there were a number of documents we call apocryphal or pseudepigraphal, and some of those documents are not part of the canon, not even close to it. Those documents refer to Mary as having married Jesus. Obviously, that is a problem given the truth of the scripture. Mary, you see, is one of the most maligned women in history. It's not just the early church, but it's also in modern times. There was a book by Dan Brown about 2003 called The Da Vinci Code, and a movie which followed. And in that book and movie, Dan Brown actually popularized and spread the notion that somehow Jesus was, or rather, Jesus married Mary and that they had a child. And that the bloodline continues to this day. That lie's been repeated again and again. But it was the Bishop of Rome, Saint Gregory, or Gregory the Great, Gregory the First, who in 591 preached a sermon that placed a label on Mary Magdalene that has stuck with her through all these centuries. He labeled her as a prostitute. And it's that label that has shaped how people see Mary Magdalene. So that homes in England, homes for unwed mothers, were called Magdalene houses. In fact, there is absolutely no biblical warrant whatsoever to so identify Mary Magdalene. More recently even, in the 1970s, you may or may not have heard of this, but there was a popular stage play, and it became a movie, called Jesus Christ Superstar. It has some interesting music and some interesting things in it, but one of the things that it plays is first that Mary Magdalene is indeed a prostitute, and Mary Magdalene is in love with Jesus. But in John 20, which we just read, we see the real Mary Magdalene. A humble servant of Jesus Christ who stood outside an empty tomb, the tomb that opens the graves of all, for Saint Mary Magdalene, her tomb, for your tomb, and my own tomb. She came expecting death, but knowing that the grave is nothing more than a lie because of Jesus Christ's resurrection. So why did Mary go to the grave at such an early time? How many times has she before actually gone to grave sites? It's a tradition of the time that the women of a beloved would prepare the body for burial. And this is precisely what she was doing. She was going there to prepare his body. She wasn't necessarily expecting a risen Christ. And so she's just shook when she sees the empty tomb. There's someone she thought was the gardener. Where have they taken my Lord? What's happened to him? Well, she was prepared to perform her final duties, but there was no body in that tomb. A parish I served, like many parishes, particularly rural ones, has its own cemetery. I would see it every day when I came to the church. Passed by, it was up beside the street, very narrow country road, and there was a cemetery. They'd been there since 1844. It had the church. And I didn't really think much about it. But every once in a while, I would be looking through my study window and I'd see the cemetery. I'd begin to realize that there's a message there for me. That my work as a pastor is to proclaim Christ to dying people, because we are all dying. And it's your pastor's work to connect your life now with the death-defying resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember all the saints that have been buried there for the last 140 years, and I could almost hear, though not really, but I could imagine myself hearing, a series of pastors standing at gravesites, and in defiance of Satan and death, proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ and life eternal. That Easter day, though, Mary's life was completely changed. The one she thought at first was a gardener now changed her universe. And he did that simply with one word, her name, Mary. And she knew who he was. She had come expecting death, but instead found the power of God's resurrection. Now that resurrected one that spoke to Mary Magdalene on that day has also spoken into your life. When you were baptized, his servant, the pastor, on behalf of Jesus Christ, in his name, spoke your name. And you were with water, with the word, united into this one who had been crucified, who rose on Easter, who engaged Mary. You've also been brought into the church in this horizontal relationship God gives us in this world because of the resurrected one. In the sacrament of the altar, the same Jesus encounters you there. Christ is the innocent Lamb of God. He is the one who was nailed to a cross for your sin and for mine. He was the one who was placed into a damp, dark cave of a tomb, expecting now for, without expecting that he would ever leave that grave. In doing so, he has indeed not only shed his blood and given his body for you, but for all the world. That's a fact. That is what gives you life and hope and peace, no matter what else happens. If others speak ill of you, you have Jesus Christ. And you've got to remember, okay, not really about me, guy. It's about my Savior, and I'll just take it. Why? Because I am identified with Jesus Christ, and I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. Every time somebody says something like that, it reaffirms to me that I am part of the body of Christ. Otherwise, they would ignore me. Mary was told to go and tell the disciples what she had heard and seen. While they cowered and locked behind closed doors, Mary Magdalene ignored the wrath of the world. She went and told the disciples what had happened. See, no longer did death hold any fear or any kind of power over Mary Magdalene. Eternal life at that empty tomb had overcome sin, death, and the devil for her and for the world. We stand with St. Mary Magdalene. We stand under Jesus' gifts of forgiveness, life, and hope. We we stand under the cross. We stand before an empty tomb. You could go and stand at any grave and know the power of Easter. No longer can death hold you. You are baptized. Never forget, that is who you are. United to Jesus Christ, in the world, the devil, your own flesh, no matter what else happens, nothing can take you from him. You're united to Christ and to each other. Our crucified and risen Lord. Well, someday, on that last day, call you forth from your tomb, from your grave. And when he does, you will join St. Mary Magdalene and all the apostles, disciples, all the prophets, all the believers of all time and every place, and with one voice, sing his praise eternally and celebrate forever with him his marriage feast in his kingdom, and it will have no end. So, at that last day, what Mary saw, what Mary knew, is what you see, what you know. Christ is not dead. He's risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Congregation, rise.
In our prayers, we remember the Reverend Richard Lammert, who will undergo eye surgery tomorrow. Confident of our Lord's promise to hear our prayers, let us approach his throne of mercy on behalf of the church and for all people. For the church scattered throughout the world, that the Heavenly Father would strengthen all her members in their witness to the resurrection of Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the nations of the earth, that God would cause peace and justice to triumph over all the forces of violence and tyranny, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in our cities, that God would put an end to all discord, providing support to those in need of the basic necessities of life, and raising up leaders who will guide the people toward a resolution of their disagreements, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the elderly, for those in nursing homes, and those in need of ongoing care, that they would not be forgotten, but included in our families and communities, and honored as God has commanded, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, including Richard, that God would send his holy angels to protect them, granting healing and strength according to his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who know sorrow and pain, especially those troubled by sins long ago forgiven, that God would send his Spirit to comfort and strengthen each hurting soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Mary Magdalene and all the witnesses to the resurrection, let us give thanks to God, that we might remain faithful even to death and be brought to share in the joy of eternal life with them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks to you for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death so that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. By faith, the saints of old held fast to your promise of things hoped for, though not yet seen, leaving an example and encouragement for us who now walk by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink his holy supper of your Son's body and blood, and in the union of his mystical body, the Church, be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, and the holy martyrs, and all of the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you unto the end. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.